Sermon for today is coming from the book of Zechariah. If you've got your Bible and you want to turn there, if you can find Matthew, it's two books in front of that. Okay? Right before Matthew is Malachi, and before Malachi is Zechariah. It's one of those minor prophets that kind of floats around the Bible and appears wherever he wants to. But as far as I know today, he's two books right in front of Matthew. Going to be reading from chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. Listen to these words. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your son Zion against your son's Greece and make you like a warrior's sword. This is a passage that normally we see at Palm Sunday, and that's why it's got the backdrop that it has. Because this is a passage that talks about the king coming into Israel. Talks about the king and what the king will do when the king comes, or better yet, the Messiah. As the Messiah, the one anointed by God, comes, that king comes into Jerusalem in a quite different way than what people expect. You see, throughout history, many have misunderstood about the coming Messiah. Many have misunderstood about the coming Messiah. Especially during Jesus' day, they were all waiting for a Messiah to come in to throw off the Roman rule. To come in such a way to chase the Romans out of town that they would not be ruling over the nation of Israel anymore. And that's what they were expecting, and that's what they were looking for. They weren't looking for a Messiah that would come and suffer. They weren't looking for a Messiah that would come with peace and love. They were looking for a warrior king to come and throw off the Roman rule. And throughout history, there are still people expecting the exact same thing. They're expecting the Messiah to come in and with a powerful hand and a weapons of war to throw off whatever ruler is over the church. Because many believe the Messiah to be a military warrior who defeats the enemy in a fierce battle. Now, I know somebody might come to me afterwards and say, Pastor, but that's what the book of Revelation says. When I look at Jesus, though, I see something different. I see something different. And oftentimes, I think the misunderstanding here is that people believe that because God hasn't done something, we need to be the warriors and go out there and squash those who don't believe. And that has been done throughout history. The Crusades are probably the most deplorable time of Christian history. There was even a crusade that was of all children who marched on Jerusalem to try to throw off the rulers there. And they came in squashing and trying to do all that they could to throw off any kind of rule that was there and take back the promised land. Crusade after crusade went. Country after country has gone after other countries, saying that we must squash them. We must take them out because they don't believe in our God. And you know what happens to us? When those other nations do the same thing to us, we say what? Well, God's a God of peace. And God wouldn't like what you're doing. But it's all right for us to go in as a military and take over. But it's not all right when they do it. And I want to say, where's the double standard here? The double standard is not following the Messiah. Because this understanding of a fierce, fighting, warrior God who comes and kills those people that we don't like and kills those that we see as different than us and kills those who believe the wrong things, this understanding has kept many people from recognizing God's chosen king. You see, as I read the Gospels, and as I look at them deeper and deeper, Jesus is always a person of peace. Jesus is always a person of calmness. The common understanding is that Judas Iscariot was trying to force Jesus' hand by betraying him. He wanted to betray Jesus so that Jesus would act and become the military ruler that Judas Iscariot was looking for. And Judas kind of believed, if I push his hand, he'll do it. That's the common understanding among lots of scholars of what Judas was actually doing. And by the way, you've heard me talk about this before. I have a lot of compassionate feelings for Judas Iscariot. Because after he realized that what he'd done was not right, unfortunately, he realized it later, he came to the religious leaders and said to them, I have sinned. Will you help me? And the religious leaders said, we don't want that money we gave you. Get out of here. I believe that Judas came to repent and to get his life right. And the religious leaders of the time said, no, we won't let you. We're not going to help you. So I kind of want to say, who's at fault there? Is it Judas Iscariot? Or is it the religious leaders that wouldn't help him? And part of the reason I believe that is because I know there's times that I've betrayed Jesus. And God lets me come back. And I've been fortunate enough to have some other friends help me to understand God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's love. And that's one of the greatest reasons why I believe that everybody deserves another chance. I don't care who they are and what they've done. Everybody deserves another chance to come to God. Because I don't believe in this militaristic God that wants to come in and squash everything that doesn't believe. I believe in a God that says, I so love the world. Or does it say, I so loved one group? I so loved one nation? I so loved one particular people that I sent my son to die for them? What does Scripture say? It says all. It doesn't say all of the ones I like. It doesn't say all of the ones that I choose to be good people. It says all. We were laughing up here just before we started the worship service. One of the greatest things that I am thankful of is that personal cameras didn't exist in my younger years. So many things nowadays are documented to the nth degree. And I just said to the person sitting behind me, if there had been cameras then, I might not be pastor here. And they said the word I needed to hear. But we know you've changed. And you see, folks, everybody should have a chance to change. Everybody should have a chance to come to God and to this Messiah that comes with peace. Because, see, this passage shows a humble king and a God who takes away the weapons of war. Did you hear that when I read it? Verse 10 says, I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Do you know what a chariot was in their day? A chariot in their day was the highest and best piece of military equipment you could have. That was top notch. And if you could have a whole crew of chariots, you were almost guaranteed to win a battle. And God says what? That thing that you trust in the most to save you, I'm going to destroy. Those of you walking through experiencing God right now, I hope, have already memorized the verse that talks about this. Psalm 20, verse 7. I heard some stuttering there. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of our Lord. Where is our trust? Is it in the Messiah who comes humbly with peace? And by the way, peace is not only absence of conflict, but peace is also a fullness and an embodiment of what God wants you to live. In the Middle East, they still welcome each other and say goodbye to each other by saying shalom, the Hebrew word for peace. And that word means, may everything that God has designed for you exist in your life. That's what they're saying when they say hello and goodbye. May the fullness of everything that God wants for you, may it become true in your life. That's what shalom means. It doesn't just mean absence of war. It means a fullness, a wholeness, a completeness. God's Messiah brings peace and releases prisoners, giving all people hope. How long will it take the church to hear that? All people. Because I remember the story of Mahatma Gandhi, who was going to a Christian church. And the people in the church told him, the English people in the church told him, "We don't want your kind of people here." And Mahatma Gandhi said this, "You Christians, I love your Jesus. But I don't love Christians because they don't act like Jesus." And Mahatma Gandhi never went back to a Christian church again. I wonder what would have happened if somebody hadn't told him that day. If somebody had told him, "You're welcome here because we know that God loves you. You're welcome here because we want to see the peace of God exist in your life just as we want to see it exist in our lives." I do wonder what would have happened. You see, because as I continue to read the Gospels, Jesus is always about peace. He says, if somebody slaps your left cheek, do what? Give them the right. Let them slap you again. If somebody asks for your coat, give them more too. How does that fit in with the idea of a military Messiah? I don't think it does. What is it that Jesus says after the resurrection, as he comes to the disciples, what's the very first thing he says to them? "My peace I give to you." My peace I give to you. I can still hear my major professor from seminary, Dr. E. Glenn Henson. He told us one day, he says, "The church has what this world needs. And what this world needs more than anything else is to know God's love." And he says the church is the one that God has asked people to give that to the world. Now, some of you might doubt some of my ways and might not agree with me. I grew up in a military area, and I greatly appreciate the military and the freedoms that they've given me to live as God calls me to live in this country. I worked Navy contracts for 12 years. And as I came to understand some deep things about what God was asking me to do, I justified some of the work I did because I worked on countermeasures equipment, not offensive equipment. for the rest of my life, I want to be about peace. And I want to bring that peace of God that God wants this world to know to people. And I've been thinking about the Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus says that we're supposed to be peacemakers, doesn't he? You know what? You don't find peacemakers in a group of people that all agree. Because you don't need to make peace there. Peace already exists there, doesn't it? When it's a whole group of people that all agree. Where can we be peacemakers? Where people don't agree. That's where we need to bring peace. In a loving way, in a calming way. Because you see, Jesus didn't ride into town on a war stallion. He rode into town on a donkey. Telling people, I have come to bring peace. And that's what this passage from Zechariah talks about. I have come to bring peace. Are you looking for a Messiah that establishes peace among all people? Even the ones that you think are going the wrong way? Because sometimes what happens is we come to the conclusion that, you know, those people will never be up to anything good. So therefore, I can push them off to the side. And I never have to minister to them. Because they'll never be up to any good. And for those of you that are walking through experiencing God right now, we've been learning about when God shows you something, God's asking you to be involved. And when God shows you those people that are pushed off to the side, God's asking you to be involved with them. To bring them peace and the love of God. There are plenty of examples, not only in the Bible, but throughout history of people who have done this and made a great difference in the kingdom of God. What kind of Messiah are you hoping for? Let us pray. Lord, we come to you because this is a difficult choice for us. Sometimes things that are existing and happening around us call for us to join the world in pushing people off the edge. But yet, Jesus always calls for us to step in the midst of the people that are being pushed and bring peace and love to them. Lord, help us. Because sometimes it just struggles against our nature. And we make that our excuse. But the truth is, if we're going to be your people, we need to help share the peace, just as the Messiah did. So Lord, please, help us and guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.